April 25, 2020 is a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you. style my hair, shine my shoes, drain my blood and rub on through. Cut my nose on an old tin can. I'm an upper lip of a nostril man. Upper lip of a nostril man. Pull my lips, shake my hips, slap my face. I don't plan no trip. I'll stay home, you go on ahead. Big old slap will be my bed. Well, 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 to you. The pine cone trail, the bustin' smell, how is my home? It's a living hell. Loving on a stack of teenage girls off just a bit shallow grave. Oh, that life force. Oh, that life force. Oh, that life force. It's got me bleeding all over my track.
Pedro Show, happy Saturday. It was foggy here in Pedro when I was hobbling around, but now sun burned all that away. I think it's going to be maybe up to 80, they said, Pedro. We start off The Promise from John Coltrane live in 1963. And then Reverend Fred Lane with Upper Lip of a Nostril Man. And Brother Matt, we're still in quitting quarantino mode, so he's 3 miles south of me at the Love Grotto on the Preser Point. But I'm not man alone, because the wonders of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype, I got Tim Reed. What do you call talking to me from, Tim?
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's in Tennessee, is it?
You're part of this batch of Knoxville people I've had on, but you're actually not Knoxville. You're near, but not there.
So yeah, originally from even more extreme places.
That's right. In fact, it's kind of trippy. It reminds me of these guys from, I think it was Lafayette in Louisiana, somewhere in Louisiana or Shreveport. They became the Residents.
Yeah.
It's a weird kind of. Remember, I told you I saw the DVD Ice Pick to the Moon, and it just related to me, just the way the movement was all these separated little tiny bits of infection, petri dishes. And your edition or version is really interesting. But I want to go before that even. Tim, what's your earliest musical recollection?
My earliest musical I don't know. It's mixed with visual. Probably the first movie I ever saw was that I remember was Singing in the Rain. I think that damaged me a little bit.
Gene Kelly.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of singing. Those were the days of the musicals, right?
Right.
Right. So, I mean, music's a big part of that stuff. I'm curious, the pad you grew up in, was there instruments?
We all listened to a lot of, I remember 78s and my sister played the piano, and played in the junior high school band.
Okay,
but they were all kind of music lovers.
There's a piano in the pad there.
Yeah.
Were you forced to take lessons?
No, she took lessons. I just, I played the flute eventually, and I played other things like that, recorder and harmonica, all those little dinky soprano instruments. That's what I started out on.
But this is stuff that was part of the school program. I mean, I asked people about this because a lot of schools have closed down their music department.
I know, it's terrible.
Yeah, fucked up. So in school you played the little soprano trips, the tubes with holes in them.
Yeah, tubes with holes.
All right.
Tubes with holes.
Were you in the marching band?
I was for 1 year. I did three years in junior high school, and I kind of enjoyed that. And they were going to have a symphonic band at the high school, and then they decided you had to be in the marching band. But I was in that for like a year, and I didn't like it that much. Because well, the band director didn't really like me, so that was.
And were you on the flute?
Yeah.
So I heard that's kind of tough because it bounces around. Yeah, but it is light. That's
well, it's light, but you know, if you're playing like clarinets and flute and a marching band, nobody hears you anyway.
Unless
you're marching right by them. You know, if you're playing in a stadium or something, that all fades out.
Kind of Marcel.
And all you hear are the trumpets and mostly brass.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I heard the easiest was the bone because the big mouthpiece. My friends who had to do I never did it. This is just what I heard.
Yeah.
Can you remember the first record you bought for yourself?
I can remember the first record I bought as a gift for my sister was You Really Got Me, the 45.
Kinks.
Yeah, that was like 19, was 64.
Sure, sure. It was great, great. I think Jimmy Page does a solo or something, somebody told me. What was the first gig?
Oh, really?
He was a big side guy. He's like, he's the lead guitar on My Generation and shit, too, I heard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he bought the Yardbird name because side man in a studio doesn't do the same thing as playing gigs as far as the bones.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, not to get all tangent out, what was the first gig you saw?
Oh, God, I don't know. It may have been Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66.
Wow.
I think, wait, no, that wasn't it, because I saw something when I was like 5 or 6.
All right.
It was actually Roger Williams in Tuscaloosa High School Auditorium.
Okay.
I think that was the first gig I ever went to. You call that a gig?
So Tuscaloosa, you grew up in college town.
The pianist, Roger Williams.
Yeah, you grew up in a college town. Okay. I've played that town not in a long time, but there used to be regular gigs there.
Oh, like where?
Fuck, what was it called? Like
that's the name of it. What was it? Yeah, that was it. Fuck, what was it called?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Maybe like that fucking hat, the Hound Tooth, Bear Bryant's fucking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was something named after that. I remember I played a couple times. The cat named Earth Dog got me some gigs there, but then it kind of dried up.
Yeah, was that 20 years ago?
Frat schools are kind of square, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but I probably wouldn't have gone to that place.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, you know. Well, a farmer would tell you if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, I want to play here a French Toast Band.
Slice of French toast. Sure you can. Here it is.
He says as he hands it out to all the boys and girls, and they scream with delight as they run home and show it to their parents. Then Mom takes the French toast from the kids to examine it more closely. It has green mold growing right out of the crust, and it smells like something awful. And she throws it into the garbage can. A rat comes along and eats it up and falls right over the head. And his stomach bursts open and his liver pops out. Everybody stands around with their hands on their mouths. They really are disgusted. Then the French toast man comes from right around the block and puts it in his French toast sock. He's on his way, he's got a sock full too. So evacuate your bowels and have a hot lunch, and don't be late for school. And don't be late for school. And don't be late for school.
Day 2020. When we get out and do all the work it's going to take to return the earth to its original grandeur. Like Wendell Berry said, our biggest job is restoring the topsoil. I stopped at the Jasper store. I bought a fountain Pepsi to go with the drap of rum I had in my shoulder bag. Went across the street and sat on a hill looking down at a tumbling waterfall on the Willamette River. I downed the drink, pitched the empty cup in a trash can, and in a moment of exuberance raced down the hill to check out the waterfall. I leaped over the roots of a tree. One of the bastards reached up and grabbed me by the foot, and I went tumbling ass over teacups, face first into the rocks alongside the creek. Pain has a way of straightening you out, even when you are hunched over, barely able to walk. I gave the waterfall a baleful, hated look and clambered back to the car, teeth gritting, hated look on my face, forearm wet from blood, no doubt, but I wasn't going to look at that. Forearmed, but not forewarned, blinded by the light. And isn't it funny, just how you think you're careening into the heights of fourth dimensional awareness, the third dimensional material world rises to slap you down. Hello, oh beautiful. Missing. We aren't missing anything. Misplaced, perhaps. Eyeballs on the fried ice cream instead of on the ball. There's always been a battle of freedom against rampant consumerism with advertising banging on our brows. It takes a twist of the attention apparatus to focus on the good stuff, to do the good work. After that, the will to follow your bliss. Don't forget the day job to pay the bills. There's not too many pranksters tooling down the streets aboard a multicolored bus these days, but they are out there, spread thin. For that is the nature of the beast, to proclaim loudly and colorfully in a large mass, then disperse like the proverbial rings in the water where the boulder got tossed, going farther out across the land. Forget about getting there. Move forward. Chart your course, your own course. Buddy up. The magic isn't gone. It's waiting to be found. Keep your eyes open. Our herd of like ilk is growing, but we must also learn the art of cloaking ourselves in invisibility so the media circus doesn't spotlight our glow. You may think you're alone, but you're not. No, no.
Tulip, it could be a tremendous black upside-down tulip. It could be a black fish's tail. It could be a day artistically cramped and buoyant in its taped-together way.
Tell me now, you'll never go. Is it yes, or is it no? Are you leaving? I reach out and touch your face, put in the clip, take every lane, pull back the hammer. What is this thing called woe? Tell me now, just what you know. And I'll take you to a place you've never seen. Someone turns and is alarmed I did not mean to bring them harm, but suddenly I hold them in my arms. Throughout the years has made us callous to our peers. Why don't we be nice? Who less than beer that makes us live at such antiquated fears across the brown rides? I wish I had a hand grenade, a great escape, and you'd leave me alone. Alone, I'm crying in my lonely room, eating snowflakes like there's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow.
Watt for Peter Show? Yeah. French Toast Man, Reverend Fred Lane. And then Gareth Sager, it's tired of being alone. Ken Babbs, fuck, it came too late for Wednesday's show, but Earth Day 2020 for real. He's up in Eugene. Bilge Pump out of Leeds. Are you there, Jude? It's me, Barry. Mike Magnetta, Surface, New York City, Steph Lauren, ADW. Chelsea Light, Moving Thirst Band before he's got now. Telegraph, Cat Beats a Drum from Guided by Voices. Tulip, which is Cat Beefheart reading a poem of his. And finally, Reverend Fred Lane with Pneumatic Eyes. So.
I remember that one.
Do you remember? Yeah, now, I mean, this record came out quite a while ago, right?
Yeah, well, when the first one came out, actually came out, the solo record came out in 83. Okay. The Redolinus Pataphysical Review came out in 76.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, we did covers of My Kind of Town and Volare.
Okay, and so describe the situation, because this is kind of before the movement, you know. Maybe there's a little bunch of stuff in New York with the Heartbreakers and stuff, and Ramones, but were you guys aware of that kind of stuff?
I wasn't aware of that until a couple of years after. Like I think we first were in the, we actually started marching in the homecoming parade. Speaking of marching, and I ended up marching in the homecoming parade at 74 with the Redolinus Pataphysical Review. I mean, the Redolinus Marching Vegetable Band.
Okay.
I should get that right.
The Pata, that's an Alfred Jarry trip, right?
Yeah, Alfred Jarry. He discovered the science that covers the laws of the exceptions of laws.
The exception of laws, yeah.
Parody science.
Right, a parody scientist. He didn't make it long, right? Just to his early 30s or something?
Yeah, he was somewhere there. Yeah, and his last request was if he could have could I have a toothpick? Then he could kick off.
Okay, yeah, I got, you know, at the bottom of Dee Dee Ramone's gravestone. Okay, I gotta go say bye now. You know, he used to say that shit. I didn't know that was like a regular thing for him. It's on his fucking gravestone. Anyway,
I gotta go.
So, in a way, did you guys like kind of infiltrate this homecoming, kind of a bum rush?
Well, it was, I don't know. We didn't think about it that much back then, but it was just a natural thing that we, you know, there was all kinds of fraternities and sororities that were doing, you know, just not even vaguely racist stuff, but dressing up and doing almost blackface and having grass skirts and all of that stuff. And then we were in the middle of it. And so it just kind of blended in. And it was interesting to kind of mingle with them because we normally wouldn't have, if, you know, they wouldn't have spit on us. But I remember standing in a washer-dryer costume one year. I had a square box that was a washer-dryer. My hands were on the inside wearing white gloves. I had a black shirt on, so it looked like, you know, it was magic. I was juggling clothes in there, and it had a screen on the front. It was just a little mirror where you could open the door. And I pissed some guy off or something, and I thought he was going to hit me or something. It was really strange. I started laughing because I had a Clorox bottle on as a mask. So it's like it was a Clorox bottle sitting on top of a washer dryer.
That would be very appropriate these days.
It was funny. But, you know, what was he going to do? Hit me? I didn't have any arms to, you know,
fight
that were inside of a box. I mean, clothes.
Yeah.
A straitjacket.
One of my drummers, here's some wisdom. If you're going to get in a fight with the bass player in the van, don't do it inside a cock sack, a sleeping bag, because you can't use your arms.
Yeah,
you got all socked up in the face. So
good advice.
So the first gig was actually working, marching in a parade. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we didn't really have gigs before that. We just kind of snuck into the University of Alabama band room. Somebody knew how to get in the window, and they opened it up, and we went in there and played all the instruments. I mean, they then left everything like it was.
Oh, wow.
Well, you mentioned what kind of diseases you could have spread now.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I remember the disinfectant, like, kind of bowl for the mouthpieces and shit. It was, like, ridiculous. Like, they all go into one big, like, butter tub. That was here in Pedro's.
Yeah,
this. Yeah, I did 10 weeks of clarinet, and then Mr. Luna, the teacher, said it'd be better, you know, I try hard, but, you know, stop wasting everybody's time and shit like that. So I never had another music class. But these guys, at least, was a resource. Because I'm thinking back to those days. I mean, it's a college town, but and there's clubs, right? But what are they doing, like covers? Copies?
Oh, probably. I don't think I ever even went to, in that time, like in my teens and 20s, I don't think I really went to any clubs. This wasn't a thing that I did, but we used to go in the end of, like, we'd go back to the back of fraternities and stuff and collect bottles for deposits. That was about as close as I got to the clubs.
Okay. And because I'm trying to think of, like, This unit that you took on the parade, what would you say? There's some theater to it.
Oh yeah, yeah. We did a couple of stage productions. None of us were in the. I think maybe our guy that Dick Foote, the guy that did the tenor sax. His name was Roger Haggerty. I gave everybody names, but we all had fake names. But he, I think he was in theater or broadcasting or something. I don't know. Somehow they got us a way. That was a phone call. They got us a use of the theater there. There was like had a really nice sound Morgan Auditorium. And we also got to play at Ferguson Theater, which was for mostly for motion pictures and lectures. But somebody was in the music department. LaDonna Smith, was it Don Smith on the records? She got us a way to perform at the this crazy stuff in front of a live audience. It was kind of miraculous the way it happened.
And it went down like a fluke. Did it go down like a musical gig, or did it go down more like a play?
Well, the first one, yeah, they were more like a vaudeville, you know, just one act after another. We just created the acts. Most of them had the same people in the acts. It was just different
combinations.
Yeah, different sets.
And then the Reverend Fred Lane, this evolved out of an act. Like one of this big vaudeville trip.
I just had this name that I got probably in 1973. This stationery printed up with from the desk of Reverend Fred Lane, and I sent people letters out on that, and then that turned into a Xerox magazine called the Fred Lane Newsletter, which morphed into the Naked Women Overthrow the Government Quarterly. And that kind of morphed into Liquid Basketball, and that morphed into the Steam Plywood Triannual. And that was the, and then they ended after that.
But they're all zines.
Pardon? I couldn't hear that.
They're all zines, like fanzines.
Oh yeah, fans. Oh yeah, yeah. They were kind of like that, but they were all, it was all made up stuff, and I had a whole staff of reporters and editors who were all me. So,
oh,
I just wrote under each
one man these. Job. Okay.
Yeah, I'm right. When
man, Lord. Man, Lord. Were you aware of this, Greg Hill and Kay Thornley and the Discordian people?
No.
Yeah, because I mean that was a real small group too.
And yeah, it's just like we were like an island.
Yeah, they started doing mimeographs and shit of this that thing that became the Principia Discordia and kind of, and then some of that had influence on more around this time. You're talking about the subgenius.
Ivan Stang,
Reverend
Church
Bob,
of the Subgenius. I really liked that stuff when I first read it. There were those little pamphlets.
But were you aware of this at that time? No.
Oh, no. This was years. I don't think I discovered the Church of the Subgenius in probably the late 70s or early 80s.
Okay.
As I remember it.
So it was definitely a parallel universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really dug that stuff, though.
Yeah, but isn't it a trip how these things were going out there at the same time but not being connected?
Yes.
Yeah. So I wonder if there was something in the water.
Yeah.
Something in the
air. Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's stuff there. There's a chemical plant and a paper mill. Yeah, it's all in the water.
Okay. Was there a record store in Tuscaloosa there everybody hung out? No.
There was one called the Dickory.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. That was replaced by Oz Records. And there was another one later, I think, by the maybe 79 or early 80s, that was called the Vinyl Solution.
And they had good stuff?
That was run by George Hedgedakis. And he... that was around for a while, well until records went away.
Well, I just bring that up because here, the little record stores were a big part of the movement. That's where you met these people. Besides at the gigs, you know. So I was wondering if you had something like that in Tuscaloosa, or what a coffee house or some shit like that.
Yeah, I think we all met around the university somewhere.
It was on the campus. Okay.
Yeah, everybody just kind of knew each other, and everybody was doing art, and there's hardly anybody in the theater. I don't know why he ended up that way. It was just, I think they may have been Roger, like I said, Dick Foote was taking some kind of, maybe a minor in that, and we just ended up, there were...
Yeah,
artists and musicians all ended up. Some of us were musicians. Most of us weren't musicians.
You know, that's when colleges used to be breeding ground of crazy stuff. We're at the end of the first hour, April 25, 2020. Tim Reed, special guest. Hold tight for hour two. April 25, 2020, second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
The man with the full back ears, the man with the full back ears, his ears full back, his thumbs along, he makes the fist and he sings this song. A man wants to smell like a man, to crumple a can in the palm of his hand. This is a man. Where does he live? Where does he live? The man with the full back ears. In his car, with his clothes outside his skin. He clipped your toenails for a dime. He used to do it all the time. He'd snip them off and file them down, and then he'd ride back into town. Man with the full back ears. The man with the full back ears. He picks his nose and he takes the call. He jumps the curb and hits the dog. Yeah,
Thank you. My old man was young once, so the photo album claims. Flip the page, the baby jumps some 20 years and change. From the cradle to the naval base, a newlywed recruit. Through the boot camp of the family man in a loose civilian suit. But it was anchors away now, singing courage, service, truth. All them anchors will weigh you down if you ain't fit for blue. Well, did I know about it then? What do I know now? I have known the kind of man it takes to keep the vow. To keep the vow. I just thought he cut me off, saying that's what you get for thinking. I remember thinking that's probably not the best lesson for kids. And although that was just something he said, when I see what I get with my thinking, I get to thinking there may have been some kind of genius in the effortless way he just did. I learned your word is one thing. Keep it if you give it out. But silence fans or fires a man requires to keep the vow. What did I know about it then? What do I know now? I have known the kind of man it takes to keep the vow. Keep the vow. Could have curled up in one footprint, one giant laugh, one giant pain. In the sickness and the treatment, shrunken down to just a man. A shrinking man still tinkering with my old busted heart. When his wedding ring must have slipped into the muddy yard. At least that's what he figured when he knows. Mississippi's glistening green. Another summer is softly calling off the search for missing things. But I have found that something kept to keep me company on these nights when me and my old man go digging into dreams. Did I know about it then? What do I know now? I have known the kind of man it takes to keep the veil. I can only hope as I propose to man the outpost now. I'll be on the memories of the man it takes to keep the veil.
for a square. I think I'll move to another town. Said the drill instructor to the master sergeant, who was walking out the door. Let's top the squad and start a party. Come on, you drunks, let's go, man, go. We'll win. We didn't last summer, and I dressed in blue at the ball. Twist just like we did it, Paris Island. Come on, my angel, let's figure that out. We'll win, 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 win. Let's win. Live on the twist. We don't want a fuss and fight. We just want a twist all night. We don't want to shoot no one. We're too drunk to load a gun. Corporal, please, get on your duck. Get on your feet and show yourself. And all the chicks will soon agree that you're one red hot swinging Marine. Let the next twist. Twist, let the next twist. A twist, let me make a twist. Let's twist, 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 twist. Over the next twist. You learn to like us and you learn to love us, so we bring you soldiers and jobs and bars. And you'll get to know us and you'll call me Wally. Then you'll burn me down, this is your farm. And fight the men and kiss the women and serve the men and love the women and kill the men and rape the women and burn the children and do it all again.
Walk for Pedro show start up the second hour with Reverend Fred Lane. The man with the full back ears.
That's me.
Yeah, full back ears. That's trippy. Bella from Barcelona after that with the Conversación con el Higalanista. Megadad out of Trieste, Panamic. Moldoman out of Balmore with Orban the Cuss. Citizen Klein out of Canada, Lucery. Corey Brandon in the Vow. And finally, Twist, Leathernecks Twist. Reverend Fred Lane. Tell me about this record. Where was it recorded, this album?
You mean I Spit to the Moon? Or
the one that came out for, that you recorded first, the one in the 70s.
Oh, the From the One That Cut You was actually, parts of it were recorded in Trans Improvisation Studio, which was Davey Williams and LaDonna Smith's studio. And then we recorded some of it there, and the first, I think two or three songs we recorded were from a production of From the One That Cut You at, Morgan Auditorium in November of 1976. That was in Tuscaloosa. That was all in Tuscaloosa. And some of it was recorded at the Northport Chamber of Commerce in Northport, Alabama, which is, you know, right in the same place, actually.
In the Chamber of Commerce? There was a recording studio?
Yeah, it eventually became an art center, but it was an art center, a Chamber of Commerce that doubled as an art center, and eventually the art center took over, and the Chamber of Commerce moved out where to some McCrory's that had turned a shopping center into a Chamber of Commerce. It was a strange place.
Yeah. Well, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, none of your friends was making records. This was kind of a new kind of trip, right? Whose idea was
it? Yeah. Yeah, we had recorded this. The first record we recorded was the 1975 production of the Redolinus Pataphysical Review, which were like vaudeville musical acts, just back to back, and I did a couple of, you know, fake monologues.
Yeah.
Because actually, that was the first time I appeared as Fred Lane on stage. That was in February or March of 1975, and I just appeared on stage, and the pants didn't show up for the rehearsal. So I just went on stage in my underwear, with somebody. I borrowed tuxedo. It was one of these frilly 70s tuxedos that were really tacky looking.
Yeah, big.
That's what I liked. And so the next day, the pants came back the next day. But I said, well, I just like it without the pants. So I went that way ever since.
And were the Band-Aids there yet?
The what?
The Band-Aids on the head.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I put the Band-Aids on there because, well, I was 21 and I still had kind of an acne problem, which has always been a problem. But so I said, oh, I'm going to put makeup on. No, I'll just put Band-Aids over everything. It'll be kind of a...
What about the glasses with the eyes?
Oh, I didn't make those until we did a picture, I think, in 1981, and I cut those out of... I had worked at a record store in Tuscaloosa, and I got this Tanya Tucker poster from because country music wasn't their big thing to sell the students back then, so I got all the excess stuff. So I got a couple of Tanya Tucker posters, and I cut the eyes out, and I glued her eyes in my glasses and put those on. So those are her eyes.
Yeah. I want to play from the one that cut you, what you're talking about.
Okay.
Remember me, I'm the one that cut you. I hope the pain has gone and it hurt just a little bit. And it bleeds just a little bit. I cut you. I'm the one. I follow the footsteps. I say, why can't we be friends? You slipped, you fell, you screamed, impaled. Oh, I cut you. Please don't make a scene. I rake your arm with a toy brush. I sit here, I'm looking for a bar of soul. As I'm watching, and swear, you swear not to tell that I cut you. Please don't make a man. I cut you, hell, I hope the pain is gone. This is the one that cut you. Yeah, don't worry about Jimmy. I will take care of him the same way I took care of you. Love, too. I can tell that it's burning. I'm the one that cut you.
by the highway, a high and tight feeling, truck stop meals rolling down forever, red and yellow trucks must have run on and on. Now I sit quietly with dark windows, staring and waiting sadly by the highway. Love that feeling, though, always leaving them, going back home. I've had trucks before. Old trucks roll on forever, and those little yellow trucks could be my toys. Much loved friends, flying up and down highways, wondering just where my truck will end up. Pointed at a road somewhere, until then I fly, looking for cool places to bike and canoe. Always a kid again, just in need another highway and another good old truck.
First they ran out of places to stand. And then they ran out of time.
That was all so long ago.
You think they were fighting over food? Found the bodies piled high.
Empty in a hot air balloon. To colonize the moon. And we'll be leaving real soon when we've fucked it all up again. When we've fucked it all up again. Fucked it all up again. When we fucked it all up again. Plain to see.
just rather be with a lonely walker rather than coming home to me. Tried to die for every time she left me here alone. I buy a box of matches, burn down his home. See, I've never really had the moon. Now I'm learning how it feels to choose. Good luck between fighting and the heartsick.
jackal pajamas on the auto. Don't spill no gasoline by pipe with the cardigan open. That's for me. Drop the VAR on your shoulder, honey. Stick the bufflehead flow shine shoe for mental relaxation. I'll do. Knock on my cleats, walk to the plate, light up a smooth caramel. Pull out a flask, fill up a glass, Spectorade on the fat boy's head. Grab the pedal and smash that creek. Change the channels and drip my feet if you don't like on my sideburns. God bless you.
Pedro Show from the one that cut you, Reverend Fred Lane. DMF after that with Pathetic, Joe Brewer, Old Trucks, Chinese Herbal Medicine with Until We Fuck It Up Again, Luke Winslow King, Hard Sick Blues, Andre Vita 202 CCC, and finally Reverend Fred Lane, Hit Tight Hot Shot. So, you know, watching the DVD, did you kind of like, you evolved from a monologue to like a band leader, right?
I just kind of stepped in for that because they needed an MC, something to hold all of the musical acts together. So I would come in and kind of semi-insult some of the acts that came on or you know, critique them briefly. And I did this first monologue I did was a joke about Eleanor Roosevelt that, that Lanny, I think he's E. Baxter Put on from the one that cut you record.
Yeah.
He gave me this joke, but he didn't give me the punchline to the joke. So I just kind of left the joke there. And we had all this fake applause and laughter that every time I said a joke, it was mostly stuff that I think they recorded from the Bangladesh concert with George Harrison or something. But they would put all and there would be these uproarious, you know, applause and stuff when I would say something. So I don't know how many people were in there. Probably 100 people in the audience, so maybe 125.
Yeah.
So they kind of went, you know, it kind of encouraged them to applaud or not applaud.
whatever you call that, canned shit, right? So when do you, yeah. when do you, you actually make, get the band together?
Well, in that particular production of the Redonis Pataphysical Review, there are several bands within the band, right. But we just started playing together like a year before that in the, started out in the University of Alabama band room where the jazz band and the orchestra played, and we would just play in there, and it kind of went from there. And then we decided we needed some names for the show. So I gave the trombone guy, who was also an artist named Craig Nutt. He's still around, and he played trombone, and I named him Ron Pate. It was kind of a part of Pataphysical Pate. And he gave other people names. As they would play their solos, I would just basically name them. I have a bunch of things in my head and name them immediately. So the one of them was Abdul Bing Camel, was my friend Ted Bowen, who played bass, upright bass. He had a fez, and he has a strange-looking glass. He looks kind of austere or mysterious. And what was the question?
You get the band together. So you're actually the cat that's forming the cat. You know, these guys, obviously, they play and shit, but you're kind of giving them the roles, which becomes the Fred Lane Band, I guess. Well, that's what it started off as, right? And then you kind of morphed it into this kind of vehicle for Reverend Fred Lane.
And some of them appeared fictionally in the Naked Women Oversaw the Government Quarterly and the Liquid Basketball. They were in that publication. A bunch of Xerox sheets stapled together, basically.
But the band does start doing, after this, the big gig at the Morgan Auditorium, whatever, you guys start doing gigs? You didn't do that many gigs, right?
No, we didn't. There was no place for us to play. That would be the only place where we could make our own venue. So that the Morgan Auditorium thing came up about a year and a half after the Pataphysical Review, which had been in Ferguson Auditorium.
Right.
But the second one was like something I wrote out a script for and everything. And it was supposed to, the premise was I was just telling the audience about my summer vacation, but that was just an excuse to glue a bunch of, blackout sketches and song performances together. Yeah, and I think it starts out with, I think we did a version. Hello.
The MacGuffin.
Yeah, you need a thing to stick it together, right? And so it started with me singing "Hello, Young Lover." I think "Hello, Young Lovers." I think I shot my wife on that song. I can't remember. Anyway, I was dragging her body around the stage. This is 1976. Now yeah, we wouldn't do that today, but And you see, that was, and then it ended with my death, and I think the death of Ron Pate, and we're resurrected at the end, and somehow I morph into a green rabbit, a giant green rabbit, and we sing "Fun in the Fundus," and that was the end of the show. "Fun in the Fundus," I think, was the first officially written Fred Lane song.
Okay. Since, you know, you were too big for Tuscaloosa, did you ever think about, like, touring this around?
No, we started out, showed it to some people that we tried to get it, and we started out small. We started out trying to get it in Birmingham Southern and UAB, and I think that's as far as we got, because we would send them a presentation, but then, I don't think they knew what to make of it. It was it's kind of conservative there,
yeah, a little bit.
Truthfully, at that time, as you can imagine.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it's pretty crazy stuff.
We're at the end of the second hour, April 25, 2020, just Walt Peterson, special guest Tim Reed. Hold tight. Hour three, April 25, 2020. It's the third hour of the Lot for Pedro show.
Look at my wristwatch. From whom a haircut reads a sign. Eat breakfast with the bellhop. bathroom and fix my ties. Every hair in place, every strand of hide. I make a note of the bellhop. He said your legs were fine. He said he forced you with a pair of pliers when you happened to be so fine. He didn't use the utensil that the clientele had supplied. It's such a similar story, but then you glanced over in a sigh. Every time I reach for glory, I think I'm getting such a real goodbye. The moon echoed flex, the night was inviting. Dive with a bellhop, dream walk in. He checked his breath, said your legs were biting. Business smelled of formaldehyde. Smile shone as starlight, you were so sublime. He smoothed back his hair just to make an impression. The door was ajar and the laundry pile high. He entered and noticed the pair of pliers with a special something in mind. He looked at you, you looked at the pliers. That's when he noted your legs were fine. In the slot, eat a wafer, throw through the mezzanine, comb my hair, have a discussion with the bellhop, make a blow top with a bottle of
Thank you. Thank you. Garvin Wayne one time. I take the blowtorch out of your back. Take it slow, ease it up. I don't want to mess your bingo card up. Watch yourself, what's your hurry? I got a thing growing out of my neck. Sit on my brain, it needs a pain. Call me Wayne, 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 Wayne. You want to pop a carny, but the carny don't want to hop you. Ain't it a bitch what a chewed old bit off soul-sucking bastard of a moon can do? He's winking and he's blinking and he's slurping and he's slinking and he's stinking like a weasel in heat. You call him Mr. Stamen, but I say he ain't nothing but some sawed-up greasy meat. Call me Wayne. Call me Wayne. He ain't like you know my name. He's feeling Texas, baby. Yeah. You call me Wayne. I got four flat tires, I'm a real live wire. Call me Wayne, why you care? Go against the call me Wayne. Black up, baby, it's a guitar time. Like it's going out of style. I don't want to spoil that perfect smile. You spit that gas on the whole sick aisle. You don't know what it is till it's in your mouth. That's what I like about the South. Call me Wayne. Call me Wayne. Yes, and Jane, like you know my name. We're back on that Pepsi, baby. Call me Wayne. Call me Wayne one time. For I have sinned and you're unclean. Disconnect me, I'm a bad machine. Way, yay, 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 yay. Way, yay. Way, oh, hey. Way. White. 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 White.
Walk for Pedro show started third hour off with I Talked to My Haircut, Reverend Fred Lane. In the Trash Comedy Jam 3, Crane, Between Us Two. He's also based in Trash Comedy. Chris Burns, Funeral Suite for Your Sweet Funeral. And Call Me Wayne, Reverend Fred Lane. So, how does it end up? I mean, you guys, you fall apart, right? I mean, you make these recordings, but it looks like there's no gigs or...
Well, I don't know. We didn't plan it that way, but...
Well, yeah, I'm not saying you planned it that way, but...
Yeah.
What was the eventuality is what I'm asking you, Tim.
Yeah, and finally, we finally get some gigs, like, 40 years later, and then there's this...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I want to get to that, but I'm still back in those older days, like...
Oh, do that, yes.
Let's say, like, 83, right, the second one comes out. You guys still aren't playing gigs?
No. Okay. No. What?
There's a couple of gigs in the 70s, right? And that's it. Until.
Yeah. That was just the things that we had created for ourselves, the gigs that.
That's right. Know,
but.
The world for your world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, that's kind of trippy. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, yeah.
Yeah, you know, 19 years I've been doing the show and I have people on and they're in bands and they do gigs and stuff. This band a little different, but you guys, you do get back together after what, like 40 years, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about that. Like, how did it happen?
Well, this wasn't really. It was more of me starting the band. There was only one person on that had been in the original one.
Only one.
I mean, a couple of people had passed away.
Right, okay.
Shimmy Disc had released Cario Jerome. And then we were supposed to do another group of songs, and it was going to be Ice Pick to the Moon. So that would have come out in 1990. But there was Kramer, the guy that ran that wasn't really paying anybody, and he got in a bunch of trouble for that with most of the people on the Shimmy Disc label. So I just decided not to go with that. I was already doing the artwork, and that was enough to keep me busy. So I figured, well, I got to make a living, so I might as well.
We should tell people about these mobiles, right?
They're mobiles and what they call whirligigs.
Whirligigs, yeah.
And kinetic sculpture, and it's mostly painted wood. It's all cartoony stuff.
Yeah, and the DVD, I love it, man. It's bitching. I'm wondering, though, this gig that you did a couple months ago, you know, the first one in all these years, was that your idea to do? There was only one dude from the old band.
No, he died.
He
actually died last year in April, a year ago.
So nobody from the original band was in this reunion?
No. But he was on the record, though.
Okay.
Or Sid Charisse, as we called him in the band.
Well, I know one guy who was in the band that wasn't from the old days, Mike Baghetta, because he's the connect I have with you today.
Yeah.
And he came and did the guitar for the gig, right?
Yeah. So he really did it well, too.
He said it was a lot of fun. He dug it. He thought it was totally insane, though. But
he
said you were kind of abusive on the crowd. You were throwing peanuts at him or some shit.
Oh, I was throwing stuff to him. We were throwing. I was really violent. We were throwing circus peanuts at the audience and Clark bars.
Okay, well, they could hurt.
Well, they were kind of soft Clark bar. They were kind of hybrid of Clark bars and Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay, I want to play. I'm going to go to hell when I die.
God's a mighty man, he's got a master plan. He's standing up in heaven, urinating on our heads. No matter what you do, just face it, boy, you're screwed. Oh, you're gonna go to hell when you die. I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell. Yes, I'm gonna go to hell when I die. There'll be smoke coming out my ears, and I'll burn 10,000 years. Yes, I'm gonna go to hell when I die. Oh, people's wings are flies while he's making up a list. He put us here on earth so he could smash us all to bits. You never will be free, you might as well give in. Oh, you're gonna burn in hell for your sins. I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell. Oh, I'm gonna burn in hell when I die. I'll be baking in the pan when I reach that fearsome land. Yes, I'm gonna go to hell when I die. Our greeter's Adolf Eichmann, he'll meet you at the gate with lots of circus peanuts, so hurry, don't be late. He'll make you vote Republican, then shoot you in the head. Oh, Jesus, please kill me when you can. I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell. Yes, I'm gonna go to hell when I die. I'll run screaming down the stairs with a grease fire in my hair, picking up the soap in the middle of the air. I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell. I'm gonna go to hell when I die. There's smoke blowing out my ears, and I'll burn 10,000 years. Yes, I'm gonna go to hell when I die.
Regret. each is the same. You're just closer to death. And nobody, nobody is saying anything. My mission is none of your business. The light is the same. It's not getting weaker. It's not getting weaker. You're just closer to death, and nobody's saying a fucking thing anymore. Or they're saying too much. They don't say nothing, or they say way too fucking much. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I get it. You're all addicted to outrage. It's cool. It's all right. You can be tested for that, you know. The stigma is rampant. It's a fucking disease. It's a virus. Okay, yeah. The stigma is everywhere. Get tested for it, kids. So here comes the dead air alarm. Here comes the dead air alarm. Here comes the dead air alarm. Here it comes. 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 And when it comes, when it comes, when it comes, it sounds something like this. Observant are you? How fucking unobservant are you? I have only one eye, and even I know what the fuck's going on. You must be a myopic motherfucker. I have one good eye, and even I know what the fuck's going on. Fucking moron. I can see when someone brings a purse dog to a friend's funeral. I can see how certain bathrooms are cheaper than a cheap motel. I can see $12.46 into a never-ending evening of beginnings that feel like endings that never begin to end. Yeah, that was last Saturday. What a great show that was. Fuckers. I can see how a wide berth perspective would tend to keep the murderous thoughts at bay. Again, back to that shitty fucking show. Question! Does it feel like work yet? Answer? Probably. I wasn't kidding about the 1246, the joke that's not a joke. I wasn't kidding about the 1246, the joke that's not a joke. Like a bad comic strip that rationalizes the hell out of a nightmare that probably feels like work. Unrelated, politely saying no to a little kid trying to sell you Girl Scout cookies outside the Fellini Kroger shouldn't make you cry when you get in your car, right? Unrelated, yes, I will key your shiny new fake-ass red 65, that's in quotes, Monte Carlo, if and when you park it like an entitled fuckwad. I will key your shiny new fake ass red 65 Monte Carlo if and when you park it like an entitled fuckwad.
Biscayne, chuckling for the rains came, sentimental refrain, waiting on that freight train. Trampoline from a coin purse, from a clutch bag and a glove box, when the cigarette is over, they'll fly a nice pick to the moon. We're on the bus, each and every one of us, the way you hold your drink, it's tearing me apart. Put up on the bar stool, how do you do? What a good for the cop, as it was for you. Pair of poodles, one is dark and one has flaxen hair. They ease into a trailer court, they didn't seem to care. Wiggling, giggling, piggy bank cashes, 12 loaded rubber snouts up your Hollywood. Beckons like crime, it don't mean a thing. It buys a nice pick to a better world. Motown, Duluth. In an ashtray, sleep eternal where the rains fell, crispy stack of loins in the roaring heat, one more weekend shot to hell. Begging's like crying, it don't mean a thing, it just makes the ropes real tight. Regional manager's mustache, Mona Lisa's schizophrenic sugar shack, just a nice pick in a glove box, and it never met a can of beer like you. Small talk, extract, decode, exude. We'll be right back.
Watt for Pedro Show, the last music for this edition. I'm going to go to hell when I die, Reverend Fred Lane.
Ellie.
Yeah, and then here's some bands out of Knoxville. Bark with the World of Regret, Own Food, Dead Air, Alarm, and finally Reverend Fred Lane with I Stick to the Moon, which was, So, you hadn't been on stage in a while. Was there a lot of practice for that gig?
No. Well, we did it like three, with the whole band, we did the whole band was that right before the show, that afternoon.
Jeez.
And then we went on like 3 hours later, I think, or 2 hours later. And that was one practice.
Fuck, it was deep.
I don't know if you've seen any of the videos from that.
No, I haven't, but I would like to. Mike told me it was a blast. He dug it a lot. And, and like it was kind of an event, right? No gigs for 40 fucking years.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are people there were actually young people there, too. I was surprised.
What, younger people?
Yeah, there were a few of them, and then there were some old cadavers like me there, too.
Yeah, of course. But there were some people from Tuscaloosa days?
Yeah, Birmingham.
Okay.
And a few Tuscaloosa people, too, yeah.
Oh, that's right. The gig was at the Saturn, right?
Saturn, Birmingham, yeah.
Right, which has got the Manor Astro Man drummer man. That's a I can't remember his name, but he's got a conch pad upstairs. I mean, it's a great I played there last fall.
Yeah.
Great pad. So.
Yeah, he was on the in the documentary. He said he would give his left lung. So we got some liver from the kitchen there and introduced. Well, and I claimed that thanks a lot. Well, thanks a lot to him and on stage towards the end of this set.
So you know, the regular gig is the whirly gig, but are you planning more gigs, music?
Yeah, we did before the bubonic hit.
Oh, yeah, of course, right now. But, you know, that's just postponed. We'll get back into playing again.
Sure, I'd love to do that.
Oh, really?
So my last, yes.
If somebody asked you, why was there the big 40-year gap then?
I don't know. It's just just hard to get together with that many diverse talents and egos. It's just... You know, to get the same people, and I was doing other things.
Right.
And then your life is over there.
Yeah, I understand. that was kind of gratuitous. That's kind of stupid of me. Sorry, Tim.
Oh, that's okay. I'm stupid, too.
You said the younger people at the gigs. If you're younger, more younger. We're all young, right? Just some people are more younger.
Yeah, more younger. More younger.
We're less younger. But if they... ask you for advice, what would you tell them?
Don't take anybody's advice.
The Alfred Jarry thing is strong. Did you guys find out about Para Ubu? You know, they were way into that stuff, too. I mean, the band.
Oh, yeah, they even took the name of the guy in the Ubu, the King.
Yeah, right. Neared, right? The first word of the play is shit, and it started a fight, I guess, when they did it in Paris. And talk about uptight people. So I like this idea. Yeah, don't take anybody's advice. Let the freak flag fly. And especially in those days where you guys were pretty much loners with boners.
Man, you're a poet, and I didn't know it.
Feet show it. They're Longfellows. It's really been an honor for me, though, and to see that you didn't, you know, no wine before it's time, right? 40 years? Hey, it's 40 years. And we get
aged.
Right. We get over this
starting
pandemic.
Starting to smell good, yeah.
And putting together a band, and a lot of the band probably is younger shift people, right? Or are there people your age?
Yeah,
our
bass player is... this guy, I think he's the... No, well, actually, we had a substitute drummer because our drummer for the Saturn gig had a previous place he had to play. But yeah, the drummer I think was in his 20s. I mean, that's, and then the bass player's in his 30s. Yeah, so that's, those are the youngest guys.
That's happening. You know, that didn't happen in the old days. You didn't mix.
I know, it didn't. You're right.
You know, it was a. Remember in those, I try to tell people about the old and the young, and that was a big deal in those days.
Yeah.
Not so much. And so maybe that's
not that stupid, because it's supposed to be different, like in Britain and Ireland, you know, other countries.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was such a division of the old and young.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, look, like I said, big honor for me to have you on the show, Tim. Thanks so much.
And, oh, it's fun to be here.
And to hear about your adventure. And it was, you know, it wasn't like going along with the pack. You know, I love that. I love
yep.
that. So
I got to be what I is.
That's it. That's it. Big love, man. Keep the keel in the water, but let that freak flag fly. People, it's been the April 25, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.